cause we got the alternative energy. Right. Nuclear free autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
Hi there, Maya, welcome to the Radioactive Show. My name's Yo, and it is a moon-gazing eve from where I am sitting, rising up into the wondery Wurrung skies. Katie Mahiki na mana whenua. Last week was a mutual aid fun run held in Nam, Melbourne. Huge shout out to the organisers and volunteers who created such a gorgeous community event and raised nearly 200k across the three mutual aid campaigns for Whanau in Sudan, Gaza, and here for Auntie Sue and her family fighting off them rocket pests. You can still donate, there is time. Head to funrunformutualaid.grassroots.com. And while the run was based on charity events, very intelligent strategy, there was something different, which was the spirit of solidarity and community. It had me remembering how I got into running. Little personal story. I had a fateful tear of a nerve that ran around my knee about 10 years ago. And thankfully, this injury halted my then direction and steered me back onto my path. A redirection that would take me out to the walker drew a walkabout, walking with what felt like a wooden leg and a fraying strap to hold up my floppy foot. I walked with community, walking for country, walking to protect the land from uranium extraction, walking with story, walking with difference, walking and listening, walking with an attention for the sacred. Spiral out to a couple of years ago, I found myself on Turtle Island, ready to start running again. And I remember the stories Marcus told around the fires of the Walkajura walkabout. Dennis Banks and the sacred runs across continents, running from community to community across Turtle Island, but also here in Te Whenua Mumuia, and my home in Aotearoa, from Auschwitz to Hiroshima, people ran together, living simply and living with the land, every day running, 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 to remember life is sacred, marathons, blisters running. So I listened to Dennis Banks' autobiography, his voice in my ears every morning as I learnt to run again. Dennis Banks was an Anishinaabeg Ojibwe warrior, organiser and rangatira, best known for his kaupapa as the co-founder of the American Indian Movement, AIM. Born on Leech Lake Ojibwe land in Minnesota in 1937, Dennis was a survivor of the native boarding schools. He spoke in his book that he first began running when he started running back home from those places of horror. Matua Dennis dedicated his life to resisting the settler colony and living in Indigenous sovereignty, dignity and survival. He carried culture, knowledge and stories with great generosity. Through AIM, he helped bring international attention to the systemic brutality and tribal genocide faced by Native peoples in the United States. From police violence and broken treaties to land theft and cultural erasure, Banks was central to key movements in modern Indigenous resistance, including the occupation of Alcatraz, the Trail of Broken Treaties, the 1973 occupation of Wounded Knee, which had Banks on the FBI hit list for 9 years running. And then some years later came the Sacred Runs, long-distance ceremonial journeys across continents, a revival of traditions carrying messages and prayer from community to community to share how we practice in and remember life is sacred. Dennis Banks passed in 2017, his legacy potent and everlasting and found so animately in the Wairua of Marcus Atkinson. A close friend of Matua Dennis's, Marcus ran and organized for decades with him. I'll let Marcus tell the rest because he's a wonderful storyteller. Please enjoy. E mihi ana ki a Matua Dennis rawa kua Marcus.
Who is Marcus?
Hi, I'm Marcus Atkinson. I'm originally from Victoria in South Gippsland, but been living over here in Fremantle, Western Australia, for probably close to 20 years now. And it was a long journey getting here. And Dennis Banks and Sacred Run was a big part in my life's journey, I guess. So for organisations around Australia. And so I wasn't really a runner. And it was all drug and alcohol free, which my life wasn't at that point in time. And it was kind of like, oh, I really want to go, but I don't want to run. Don't know how I'll go for a few weeks, not drinking or doing anything else. But I was like, actually, I'm just going to suck it up for 2 or 3 weeks and I'll just go and I want to see what it's like. It was starting up in Sydney, and Faux had created a small collective to organise the Victorian section when it was to get to Victoria about 2 months later. So I thought, I'll go to Sydney and start with them and run for a few weeks up towards Queensland, and then I'll come back to Victoria and I'll have a better idea of how it all operates and can help with the organising group there. Within 2 weeks, I was just like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I just loved it. I loved all the political talk, I guess, and like learning. Even in that first 2 weeks, I was blown away by how much I didn't know about Australia and how much I didn't know about Aboriginal history and the attempted genocide that white Australia had tried to do, the nuclear testing, like just all of it. I had no idea. We learned nothing about it in school. And I actually just instantly, there was something between me and Dennis, and we just hit it off. And so I called Faux and said, actually, I'll just see you when the run gets to Victoria because I've got to stay. And yeah, that became like a nearly 3 month run around Australia. And then we went to Aotearoa and ran around there, where one of the Native American people had to go home. There was a family issue that he needed to go home for. And back in the early 90s, they just put me on the plane with his plane ticket. And I went and did that run there. And I think that was probably November 93. And then at the end of that, Dennis just said to me, look, we're starting a walk in the United States or Turtle Island from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. for 6 months. It starts like mid-January. So just get yourself to San Francisco and then we'll take care of you from there. And so I came back from Aotearoa and just sold most of my stuff, brought a plane ticket and went to the United States. And that was going to be for 6 months, and it turned into nearly 10 years of just traveling with Dennis. Wow. And organizing runs and walks and going to different ceremonies and just basically living and traveling with Dennis for the majority of that 10 years.
Wow. I knew that it was a long time, but I didn't realize it was a decade of your life.
I know, it's such a big story, I think. And I think initially for me, it was really about the human rights aspects for Aboriginal people of like, and it's still there today. Like there's truth and there's bullshit. And most of what gets talked is bullshit. Like the truth is that this land was stolen from them. And like tens of thousands of people were killed and traumatized, which is still like intergenerational trauma that is still with us all today. And it's just like the government and everything is just lies built upon lies built upon lies. And like, yeah, it changed my whole view of the world, I think, because like we didn't learn anything about it. So then you in primary school, in high school, like everything we learned, how great Captain Cook was and how good. At that point, when I was in primary school, we were still singing God Save the Queen and stuff. Like, it's just mad when I look back at it. But there's that undeniable truth that exists. And I think Dennis really had this ability to be able to break through all the bullshit that you'd been taught and let you see like what is really happening in the world. And I think not just like not just Dennis, but then all the like Aboriginal crew that I was meeting on the way, and a lot of them were my age, and talking about what had happened to them, what had happened to their parents, like how like they still feel like that this is their land. And of course it is still their land. It's just been stolen from them. And then listening to like the Native American people who were on there on the walk or on the run, and Dennis talking about his own personal history of like he was part of the stolen generation and stuff like that. And realizing that it's not like realizing that that I'd been lied to basically my whole life, but that everyone had. And the problem with our society is that the majority of people just believe those lies as the truth. And that then just really set me on a path to learn more, which then especially like when we ran around Australia, we did come down through Cooper Pedy, like we ran all the way up north to like central Queensland and across to Tennant Creek and then right down the guts and that. And it was only then that I started learning about the nuclear tests and things like that. And there was something about the nuclear tests combined with like that happening on stolen land and that whole history that really, really grabbed me. But everything was kind of happening so fast and everything in my life was just breaking down and all the lies were falling apart. And that was still happening when I jumped on a plane to the United States. And then during that walk from San Francisco, we went a lot through Arizona and Nevada and that, so through the whole nuclear test sites of there and the uranium mining, and met a lot of Hopi and Navajo or Dene people who that had affected their lives in so much, like in so many ways. And the walk that we were doing was also for Leonard Peltier, who was a political prisoner from the American Indian movements, like resistance days in the early 70s and stuff. That's a massive story by itself. But that walk was for him and for us to gather signatures to take to, I want to say Bill Clinton was in office at that point, and there was a big push to have executive clemency given to Peltier. And so a lot of the discussions along the way were around that Native American political prisoners, but also African American political prisoners and just political prisoners in general. So that was 6 months of that, like day in, day out. And we had heaps of confrontations with the FBI along the way, trying to stop us from walking. And the FBI were adamant that he just needed to stay in prison for, I think he had 2 or 3 consecutive life sentences. But just to shorten it up a little bit, I guess, is I think one thing that really hit me is when we did make it to Washington, D.C., one of the major newspapers in Washington, D.C., and I think across the United States, put out like a full page ad from the FBI just denouncing Leonard Peltier, denouncing the walk, denouncing Dennis Banks as a terrorist, denouncing everyone on the walk as just ratbags and scum and blah, blah, blah. And I think at that point, like, and it had been building up, but realizing how much power, like, the media and everything is, and how the media's job, the mainstream media's job, is to keep the lies alive. And I think at that point, at the end of that walk, I realized that this is something that I just really, really wanted to do for the rest of my life, is just walk and talk to normal people in normal towns about what's really happening in the world and all the bullshit that the media and the government are just trying to cover up all the time. And yeah, it just completely snowballed from there for me, because Dennis, so by the time we finished that walk, it was like July or August, I think, in 1994. And Dennis took me along and a bunch of the walkers and stuff to some Sundance ceremonies and stuff, which a lot of them are pretty closed off to non-native people. But because it was Dennis and because of what we'd been doing for the last 12 months, a lot of us were allowed in, and there was a lot of stuff in there that, again, just blew me away and completely, like, set me on a whole different course. But Dennis had been, because it was getting close to the 50-year anniversary of the end of World War II, and Dennis, there was, just to backtrack for a minute, I guess, there was a bunch of Japanese Buddhist monks and nuns who had joined Dennis on the walk for Peltier, or the walk for justice, it was called. And I'd become friends with a lot of them, and we went up. They were building a peace pagoda in upstate New York, and I went up there, me, Dennis, a couple of Japanese people. There was a couple of other Native American people. We went up there and kind of spent a month up there helping build the peace pagoda. But that particular Japanese Buddhist order was organizing a walk from Auschwitz to Hiroshima for 9 months for the end of World War II. But they were having a 10-day gathering at Auschwitz with people who had been prisoners in Auschwitz, people who had been SS guards. Then they were also taking, like, survivors from Hiroshima, Nagasaki. There was a bunch of Vietnam veterans. There was people from Cambodia who had survived the Khmer Rouge. And Dennis was going as one of the speakers about the attempted genocide and persecution of Native American people. And they both convinced me that I should come as well. And because Dennis was like, I can only spend the week in Auschwitz, and then I've got to get organized because we're going to run from the most northern part of Japan down to Hiroshima for the anniversary. So he was like, why don't you come with me? And then you can stay and walk, and then you can come to Japan and join us there, and then you can, like, help make that connection with the walk and the run, and we're all going to finish in Hiroshima at the same time and stuff. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'm totally down for that. So, yeah, that 10 days in Auschwitz, like, still kind of haunts me, and it was just 10 days of people who have survived absolute hell just telling their stories to us. And then we walked, and we walked through, like, from there through Poland, Czech, Austria, but then into, like, Croatia, Bosnia, Serbia in the middle of the war. So it was kind of like another eye-opener to actually see war in kind of full swing. And we had days where we had to wait for them to finish sweeping the roads for mines before we could walk on it. And just seeing like young, like 15-year-old kids riding around on motorbikes with machine guns over their shoulders. And we, yeah, like most of the towns we walked to had already been completely bombed out and destroyed. And like, it was just horror story after horror story. But I think because of that whole like constant 18 months of like running around Australia, meeting with Aboriginal communities, running around Aotearoa and meeting with Maori communities, and then the whole walk for Peltier, but stopping at like 50 different reservations along the way and stuff. And then you're in Auschwitz. And it's like all of these stories just began to feel like the same thing in a different place. And realizing like Auschwitz is this massive gas chamber that's beyond like human comprehension. But then how much different is that than deliberately putting blankets with smallpox and stuff into communities and that whole scenario of attempting to wipe out a race of people is attempting to wipe out a race of people, no matter how you do it or who the perpetrator is, who the victim is. It's that back to that thing of like truth is truth, like genocide is wrong. It doesn't matter who's trying to do it. And for whatever reasons, it's still just like mass killings of people. And I think, yeah, after that, there was like no stopping. And there was a small group of us that had nearly been on that 18 months who were all in our kind of like early to mid 20s. And for that 10 years, we all just kind of operated as a group, just organizing different walks and runs, like helping Dennis out with different projects, helping in Japan, like helping in Ireland and stuff. Like, because Dennis, from his role as one of the founders of the American Indian Movement during the late 60s and the pretty much armed resistance that they led through the early 70s and stuff, he had become quite close to like the leadership of the IRA and like a whole range of organizations around the world were kind of supporting what they were doing, and they were supporting back to them. And so 1996, then after we finished, like we all finished in Hiroshima after the Auschwitz to Hiroshima thing, and then got an invite from Sinn Féin, which was the political wing of the IRA, to come to Ireland and run around Ireland because the peace process had just begun. So we all went over with Dennis and ran around Ireland, and then I ended up staying and doing a bit of work with Sinn Féin on the release of prisoners, because Lonkesh, which was the most maximum security prison within all of Europe, I think, was holding a lot of IRA prisoners that had been in there, some of them since the 60s and early 70s and stuff as well. So the whole peace process agreement was that they would be released from prison and stuff. So I ended up staying and working with an organization that was helping those prisoners get ready for when they were going to be released, on how to come back into the world in the mid 90s after being in prison for over 25 years and stuff, and to Auschwitz walk, which was
incredible.
With the running, like for me with the running, I think like I used to play sport and stuff, and but I used to hate running. Like I just hated it with a passion. But I think it's all the competitiveness. I don't think it's like, I know now, it's definitely not running that I hate. It's all that competitive nature of sports in general. And when I got on the runs and was running, but I'm running to sort stuff out in my head, like to go deeper into what I'm learning and help break down those lies and just find myself. And I just fell in love with it. Like before I knew it, I was running like marathons and stuff, not to run a marathon or not, but just to get into a different headspace and figure shit out. And just loved it at one point. And I still remember in, 1996. And so we'd had like this small group of us had been going constantly since like the middle of 1993 until the middle of 1996, like all around the world. And then all of a sudden Dennis come to us and was like, I want to run to the Olympics in Atlanta. But we used to run in like relays and stuff where we might cover 200 Ks in a day, but there's like 20 of us running 10 K each of us or whatever. And then this run in 1996, he was like, there's no relays. Like everyone has to run from Los Angeles to Atlanta. And it's like off the top of my head, it's close to like 5,000 kilometers, I think. 50 kilometers every day, like for 4 days, and then you get a rest day, and then it's 50 kilometers every day for 4 days, and then a rest day, because Sundance would go for 4 days and stuff. And a lot of like with the sweat lodges, there'd be four rounds, like four is kind of a spiritual kind of
quarter inch, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh yeah, like we can give that a go, because we were all just a bit crazy at that point in time. But I can so remember days like that fourth day, and you'd have like in the beginning, like that first day, you'd run your 50K, you're a bit sore at the end of it, bit sore when you get up in the morning. The second day, you would be shattered by the time you got, and you'd be getting blisters and stuff. By that fourth day, like you could hardly get out of the tent, like just so sore. And like we're just sleeping in tents on the side of the road and stuff. And like I remember that fourth day taking me something like 15 hours. And I probably, to be honest, walked like three quarters of it, because it was just in so much pain. But Dennis just talking to us at the end of the day, like it's hard at the start, like just keep pushing through it. Like you'll become like a better person and a stronger person, and you'll find this inner strength within yourself that you didn't know you had. And you just go, oh yeah, okay. And then you'd get one day rest and you'd be starting absolutely knackered. And I remember like towards the end of that second lot of 4 days, just lying on the side of the road, just in tears, like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And Dennis just sitting there and being like, remember when you were in Auschwitz? Like, remember those people talking about the starvation? Like, they were in that camp forever. Like, they couldn't just give up. Like, my people were, like, shot everywhere and, like, in hiding in caves, no food, no water, hiding through the badlands, hiding through here. Like you can't just give up. Like if you can give up if you want, but how are you going to look back on yourself in like 5 years time, 10 years time, 30 years time, if you just say, oh, this is too hard, I'm just gonna go give up. And it would just be like, fuck you. I've got to keep going. Like, but it was after like 3 weeks of it or something, like it's like your mind and your body and stuff had just found its way through, and a bunch of us kept going. And I think like there was...
Kia ora and welcome back to the Radioactive Show. You have been listening to an interview with Marcus Atkinson in story and in solidarity of the sacred runs that he participated in for over 10 years with Matua Dennis Banks, Ojibwe warrior and in rangatira. That is all we have time for. We'll bring you more of that interview at some later stage. For now, though, ka kite anō, stay safe out there, and as always, arohana.